Good morning. You've tuned into the KRFY Morning Show for Thursday, October 29th. Unfortunately, we had a little technological malfunction in the form of human error. I forgot to push the button to record the program, at least at the beginning. So we are going to jump in sort of in the middle of a question, or the middle of an answer to a question. Joining us this morning are Eric Bond, an actor, Sandy Nicholson, the business director for the American Laboratory Theater, Alex Cope, another actor, and later on the director, Jesus Quintero, to talk about their upcoming performance of the Rocky Horror Show. That's right. It's happening right here in Sandpoint this Halloween weekend. The question for Eric was, what is the show all about? And we are kind of going to jump in right as he's finishing up answering that question. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY.
They all learn a lot about each other and a lot about themselves on a journey that's absolutely absurd.
Yep, exactly, yep.
Completely.
That's pretty well put.
Because for those who haven't seen the show, to get them to come to see it, to experience it, you don't want to ruin anything, you know?
No.
Every character has its own ridiculous ways about them, we'll say.
But Eric, don't you feel that this has been such a part of our culture? It's over 40 years.
Absolutely.
It first showed in London in 1973. That it's probably, my sense is like the music of the Grateful Dead. People have heard of the Dead, but they haven't really listened to the Dead. People have heard of the Rocky Horror Show and maybe read some press clippings about it. And it's incredible popularity as a film.
Right, exactly.
For a number of years. But really don't know what it's about.
Yeah, see, and that's one of the things that a lot of people, they've heard about it, and they've heard, there's usually some kind of a negative connotation, especially with certain, you know, people get like, oh, it's Rocky Horror Show, it's weird, it's not for me. And you get that from a lot of people, but it's one of those shows where it's a cultural icon is because it has that way out there vibe to it, but it has such a great message to it at the end. And it's so much fun, and a lot of people don't let themselves experience that fun of this show, because this is a recent movie in my life, I guess. I had never seen it before either. I knew the songs, just never took the time to watch the movie, and that was the first eye-opening experience I've had. This was like 3 years ago, and ever since then, I was like, this would be one of the greatest things I could ever do, and I get a chance to do it right now with you, with this community. It's a great experience.
Well, how often do you get to dress up in fishnet nylons with holes in them and look tattered?
I would like to say,
if you're Eric every day.
Exactly. Ooh, with us in the studio who came in, Jesus Quintero, director of Rocky Horror Show. Can you tell us about a little bit of the challenges about bringing this to Sandpoint and the Panada stage?
Hey, good morning. It's good to be here. I wasn't expecting it, but I'm glad I'm here. I was able to make it. The challenge is theater itself. When we do arts, there is a challenge already to be there. The reason that we choose this show is because it's about freedom. This show is amazing in the sense of, like, it's been for 40 years, but from people who really connect to the show, they can tell you, for example, oh, I was 14 and I was with my dad when I saw the show the first time. Oh, that was at the time that I was doing this or that. The show is a huge experience for the audience, which I think is the next step for theater. The performing arts should be and stepping out towards an experience show for the audience. The audience are part of the performance. Audience cannot just be a passive observer of entertaining.
Yes.
With time, what we are doing is like when we go to a movie theater, for example, we sit down and we let the movie entertain us. That in that sense is unplugging. And understand me, people are working hard. Every single person who's going to buy a ticket are choosing to work 1 or 2 hours of their life in their work to spend in going to theater. They do deserve to be entertained. They do deserve to be touched. And this play is about that. It's the next step on theater. It's been avant-garde from the beginning. Of course, you can have a shallow reading of it as men in fishnets, etc. But it's the right to be different. wherever I go, wherever I talk, I have an accent. So people will react to that. Wherever I go, people look at me for what I am, of what I look like. And the fact is that we need to fight for that difference. That's what it makes our community.
Isn't the tag, don't dream it, be it?
Yes.
That's the entire message.
Absolutely. Alex, tell us a little bit about your character.
Well, let's see. I've got short, short red hair, and I am a little crazy. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm the more sensitive one, and I love everyone. I really do. And it's kind of like me in person. I love you all. I don't know you, but I love you.
Are you Eddie's love?
I am Eddie's love. I really love Eddie. And a very tragic event happens, and I get very, very distraught. And you can see it throughout the rest of the play. Like, it's kind of like a flip switches, and I'm just kind of done the rest of the time. I just want Eddie back.
Sandy, tell me, what does a business director do?
Well, Rocky Horror is a beautiful start to my part with American Laboratory Theater in business directing. And I kind of look at the whole picture for American Laboratory, which includes Rocky Horror, but it includes so much more in trying to aspire to American Laboratory's goals. And bringing not only Rocky Horror, but everything else that we want to accomplish as a theater company together and make that happen for Jesus and Carolina.
Can you tell us a little bit about the American Laboratory Theater, what it is and its relationship to Rocky Horror?
Sure, yeah. Actually, our mission is to bring together a global community to inspire, educate, and entertain. That is our mission. And it's interesting that Rocky Horror itself fulfills that mission. We've brought Jesus, who's a world-renowned director from Colombia, here to this little town, Sandpoint. And he has spent his entire time inspiring these actors, inspiring me. But I think Jesus would agree with me that the actors themselves have inspired us. And I think that we've all been educating each other. And it's really beautiful to watch the actors from the beginning when we made them strip down to their underwear in rehearsals and start walking around. And it was very uncomfortable and awkward for them. But now, today, they're walking confidently and professionally. And so you can just see the education working through Rocky Horror and the inspiration working through Rocky Horror.
One of the things that we do, and just to make that point, with the acting is related to, in many ways lately, about creating masks. And I have seen this, I've been saying this several times, but acting is actually the opposite. It's revealing the truth instead of the actor. So we take this show, for example, and we strip everything that it could be a block into the performer. And then when the performer feels comfortable, then we put back the makeup, then we put back everything else.
Yes.
So the actors that you're going to see on the stage, and they're amazing. I mean, I have friends who are coming and see them, and they cannot believe, or some of them, is the first time that they are in a big show. It's the first time. But they look comfortable. They look happy. They look excited. And that's the biggest accomplishment. What is the biggest challenge of doing theater? One is financially, to keep a theater running is a very big challenge, and the other is emotional, and is the meaning of it, to know that what you're doing with the community is the best that you can.
How long has the American Laboratory Theater been around?
Well, I initially opened it in Miami when we were part of the team that founded the Miami Theater Center. That is the Miami Theater Center that it was in association with the Miami City Ballet. It started when I was at the time in Columbia University in New York, and I was working with the School of Russian Actors. In 2005, around that, I started with a play of Tennessee Williams in the backyard of my house. Then we create, from that moment, I have street singers that I bring in the back of the house. So I always have this, intrigue me, this idea of like theater should go to people and not so much waiting for people to come to the theater.
Interesting. How long does it take to put on a show? Well, particularly the Rocky Horror Show. When did you start?
It's a very interesting question because here in the United States, we have the limitations of financial limitations. Everything is much more expensive. So if you talk about a European company or a South American or Latin American company, we usually, it's no strange to rehearse from 6 months to a year and a half. I remember one of the shows that it was one very important in South America, we rehearsed it for 3 years. And that's it's unheard here. It's too much. And some few very lucky Broadway productions have the chance to rehearse over 6 months, but not that. So it is kind of asking a painter how much it will take you to paint a paint. It depends. It really depends. But in our case, it cannot be less than 3 to 4 months.
Huh. Yeah. So about 3 to 4 months ago, you kind of started just... Was like an open call, just anyone?
We have auditions and then we start the process. And the fact that it takes 3 to 4 months is because you need to create life and you cannot push life. It's like you put a seed in the ground and then you push it to grow. You need to give it time until it becomes a tree.
Mm-hmm. So for the actors, 3 to 4 months ago, what drew you to the play? And also, did you audition for the role that you eventually got, or did you just come out for anything?
Well, I have not been in theater for a long time. And so I saw an audition and I just moved here from Florida. And I was like, wow, I don't know anyone. I'm going to go do this because, you know, I'll get to know people. I'll find a connection with someone, like anyone. And I came and I auditioned for the show. And I just auditioned, like, I didn't audition for a part. I just walked in and I sang a song and I left. And he asked me, he said, your grandfather's a preacher, right? And I was like, yes, sir. He goes, how's he going to feel about this show? I was like, well, grandpa knows it's theater and theater's not real life. And he was like, okay. And I came to the show and I walked on as, you know, essentially a preacher's daughter. And now I'm half naked on stage the whole show.
So is this your first experience in any kind of theater or...
No, I did a lot of theater when I was younger and show choir a lot. That was my main gig. And I just kind of missed it. I haven't been in it for a few years and I needed the stage back. It was like a little piece was gone.
How about you, Eric?
You know, it's very similar to what you just said. I was in Sandpoint about 10 years ago and I got involved in a little small rogue community of theater. And we did several shows. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of time spent doing local shows by a few local playwrights, and it was a very learning. It was a good, great learning experience, and I grew actually so great as learning how to act and learning how to be a part of a crew that can entertain people. And then I moved away for 5 years, and I haven't done any theater since then. And I just moved back to Sandpoint recently and learned that there was a Rocky Horror Show going on, and I wanted to get involved somehow, and I was going to just help out maybe backstage or something, but I somehow got roped into being Rocky, and it's been one of the best 3 months I've had in a very long time, and opening night's tonight, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of this show. So,
when did the rehearsals move to the Panada Theater in terms of, I take it you were rehearsing beforehand?
Yes, we were rehearsing at different areas beforehand, and then we were able to, I think that there's a special night that we're able to use the Panada as a nonprofit, I think that the Panada does, and Patricia is amazing at offering that to us. And then just recently, most of our rehearsals now are at the Panada, thanks to Patricia. She's just worked well with us, and we're going to do some partnership activities for the Panada later on in the year as a thank you to the Panada. Mm-hmm.
Now, is there a live band?
No.
Okay. Okay, there was a hesitation there, but will we get to hear Eric and Alex sing?
We will, and there's some special surprises.
Okay, we won't go too far. Speaking of the music, we're going to take a break now. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY Morning Show with Jack and Jim. And in the studio with us, we have Sandy, Jesus, Eric, and Alex. We're talking about the Rocky Horror Show that's starting tonight. Doors open at 7. Performance begins at 8, and then Friday and Saturday nights. Lots of fun. But one of the more familiar songs from the Rocky Horror Show, we're going to do a song that comes from the 1973. It opened in London in June 73 from the original cast. Everybody is going to get up and do the time warp.
Ooh, no, it's too early for that.
The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday, live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show.
Yes, that's the time warp from the 1973 London cast recording of the Rocky Horror Show. That's an aerobic workout. Now, Jesus, do you want audience members to get up and do the time warp in the aisles?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the entire point of our show. The entire point of our show is the audience are going to be able to stand up, dance with the actors. They're going to dance in their place. They're going to interact in the show. People who know the Rocky Horror knows what I'm talking about. The only thing that we are not going to be able to do is to throw food. I know that we will throw hot dogs, toast, rice, things like that, but in preservation of the Panida Theater, and we are going to have to not do that. But we have some of the other stuff that definitely is going to be very, very interactive. Again, if you think about the show, think about fun. Think about coming to a night that you will never forget, because you are going to see and you're going to get surprised and you're going to have the night of your life. It's a fun day, and we need to have fun. We're working hard. We need to go to the theater and enjoy our lives. That's what we are about.
Perfect, perfect. And speaking of energy and excitement, it focuses in on the performers who have to convey this just incredible. I think it's a great opportunity, not only for the audience members, but also for the performers. And I'd like to have Eric, talk about being Rocky. What is it like in terms of the challenges? What are the high points? What's the most fun for you during the performance?
Yeah, great question. So when I first was asked to be the role of Rocky, I was very hesitant because there's a certain stigma about it. Because if you've seen the show or seen the movie, you know that Rocky wears a nice set of golden short shorts. And this is one of those things where you have to actually be in decent shape to pull off a role like this to make it believable, at least in my perspective, you know. So actually one of the hardest things for me was to get comfortable with myself enough to be on stage for the entire time to realize that it's not about me at that point. It's about being a character that everyone, Frankenfurter creates this person, but it's everyone gets to see this new creation, and he's learning, and the whole process of me learning as well to be Rocky, it's very goes hand in hand. But to be comfortable in this role, it took a lot of just getting used to the people I'm working with. I spent 3 days a week working with a lot of people, face to face with Jesus, face to face with all the other actors, and just getting comfortable. We all became comfortable, and I'm pretty sure if everyone was wearing golden short shorts now, everyone would be fine with it. So that's how tight the group is now. Like she said, like we had to get comfortable with ourselves first and then be comfortable with each other. And there are also the other things about learning to walk in heels. That's a huge deal. Come on. I mean, all the girls are, you know, making fun of us. And like, I mean, I can dance in heels now. So
we actually give the direction to our male actors to go home and practice at least half an hour every day, putting the stockings in and out, putting the high heels on. They have to practice for, like, women usually do, you know, society, but the actors have to practice.
True story.
You have to build up those calf muscles, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you'll be seeing some calves pop, I'm just telling you. But yeah, some of the fun things, I would definitely have to say, it's the process of getting to where we are now. Like right now, we're at the destination, we really are. But the journey to get there was, I'm going to say, it's been such a blast. And when I first started, I didn't know Alex. I didn't know Jesus at all, actually. I didn't know pretty much most of the cast. And now it actually makes me sad that in about 3 days, we're not going to be seeing each other on a regular basis, at least for the most part. But it's been a long road.
Now, one of the big goals with American Laboratory Theater is to become a repertory company. So soon we're going to keep the actors that keep working with us. We're going to continue during the year. So
mm-hmm. Where does one go after Rocky? Hamlet?
More clothes.
More clothes, less lipstick.
Huh? Exactly.
Wonderful. And Alex, how about your character, Columbia? What do you find interesting about Columbia?
Her voice. Oh my goodness, it's very high. It's so high. And she just wants to be loved. She really does. And she's so sensitive. I said that before, but she really is. Everything affects her. And she tries to play it off with, you know, the nice sex appeal and boobs in the face. But she's very sensitive, and she just wants everyone to love her and everyone to be loved and accept it.
But you'd have to admit that what makes for the performers, both of you as well as everyone else in the cast, is that you're inviting the audience, as opposed to, let's say, if you put on another kind of play where the audience is passive. In this performance, you're counting on the people in the audience not to run up on the stage, possibly, but to be engaged, to be interacting. And much of the success of the performance depends upon the audience, doesn't it?
Go ahead.
For sure. We've got a bunch of crowd interactive spots because that's what the show really is. You know, you want everyone to be engaged and to be involved. We've got a bunch of scenes where we're down with you. I mean, we're hanging out with you. We are you. There's no fourth wall in this show at all. Like, we are with you and you're with us, and you're just as much a part of the show as we are too.
Yeah, and I would like to add that that one of the goals that Jesus had for this upcoming play was to really to develop the actors to this new level, and that's why it's a laboratory. We're you know, just
experimenting,
yeah. To do this audience participation, which the actors may not have experience with, because it is a relationship between the audience and the actors, and we really wanted to push that this time, and Rocky Horror gives us that opportunity to do.
Speaking of the audience participation, is there some kind of guide, or do you just kind of wing it?
A lot of people just kind of know the cues, and we do have audience participation bags. They're not the traditional, as Jesus mentioned, but you still get to celebrate the wedding, celebrate Rocky's birth, and wave your little glow stick for There's a Light.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
One of the things I do want to say is that there might be someone out there listening who knows nothing about Rocky Horror Show and goes, oh my goodness, I don't want to be getting up and doing things. It's sort of like in a classroom. Oh, I hope he doesn't call on me. I hope she doesn't pick me and have to answer that. You know, if you don't want to do anything, you don't have to, because there's probably a lot of other people who will jump up and want to have the limelight. So my notion is that just simply go and have fun, and if having fun is sitting there and just watching it all unfold around you, that's perfect.
You are absolutely right. Yesterday for our dress rehearsal, I invite a friend which hates anything that is like, I don't want actors coming to my face and ask me to dance. And he was messing around with me. He says, I'm bringing my gun. So somebody asked me to get out, I'm going to have a problem with that. No, there is, and I hate that too. I hate when the actor is imposing on the spectator. No. We're opening a window for whoever wants to will dance. Whoever wants to do it will do it. But if you are like me and you would like to watch it and sit down and experience it from your seat, you are welcome to do it. Nobody's going to bother you or push you to do anything. So you don't need to bring your guns. No problem.
Just take it in. It's a lot to be taken in.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, there is a lot. But yeah, really, for those who feel like, no, I really don't want anybody I don't want to stand up and dance. You don't have to. This is a party. This is freedom. You do whatever you want.
What's it like to rehearse all this time? And you briefly mentioned about come Saturday evening at midnight, you're all done. And just to work so hard and to bring to life for three nights, where probably on that third night, you're just getting good at it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of heartbreaking, but that's what theater is. Theater is that time because, you know, photographs and movies, you know, you have that forever and ever. But theater is something you live it once, and that's the beauty in it. It's different every time because you're living it differently every single time.
That's right. And mm-hmm. that's the point of the difference between you paying a ticket for a movie theater to you paying a ticket for a theater. When you pay a ticket to watch a play, you're paying for experience of life. That's completely different than to go just to be entertained by the movie theater.
Which is why you should come down and experience it, because it won't be back again.
It won't be back again. Now, this is this evening, Friday evening and Saturday evening. Doors open at 7 at the Panada, performance at 8. And where are tickets available?
So tickets are available at panada.org, and they are $21.50 for general admission, $18.50 for seniors, or you can come down to the door when doors open and get your ticket then.
Excellent, excellent. I'd like to ask Eric a question in terms of costuming. I'm sure you just, maybe you do have a set of 8-inch heels in your closet and gold lamé shorts. I mean, but what about costuming? Where did all of the costumes come from?
Yeah, so one of the things about being a part of this, the American Laboratory Theater, we were able to be very creative with our own selves about who we wanted to guess, form our character into. And we all get to basically either give ideas or just be 100% into our character by getting all, and procuring all of our costumes. And that was the fun part about it, because you can go online and buy all sorts of stuff instantly. But a lot of us went and just found random things locally at the Goodwill thrift stores. And it was a whole process. And for my character, it's different because you can't find gold lamé shorts just lying around usually in a thrift store, especially in northern Idaho. But
I'm shocked.
Everything else though was definitely just fun to put together. Golden shoes. That's a creation.
What was the toughest part for your character to find an article?
Honestly, nothing, because I had to get the gold shorts, and then I just came up with getting the shoes. But if we're going to, I'll spin this real quick. The toughest part, and I'm going to be brutally honest here, men, never get your chest waxed. I'm just going to throw it out there. I thought it was a good idea. I really thought it was going to be purposely beneficial for the show. There's a top 5 pain thresholds in my life, and
this hit.
It did hit like number 3.
All,
I believe.
All the levels.
Oh yeah. So
thank you.
I did a little sacrifice.
Well, people do have to sacrifice for their roles. How about your character, Columbia? How about her creation?
Oh my goodness! I'm like a little sparkle. I'm like a sparkly fairy. That's so exciting. Trying to find everything that has sparkles everywhere. It's a lot harder than you'd think it would be, because it has to be, it's a more tighter fitting costume. So you have to find everything that's tight and sparkly. And I thought there was going to be a lot more with, you know, how fashion is today, but I could not find anything that was sparkly and what we needed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this sounds like great fun. I want to thank you for coming. Anything in conclusion you want to say about Rocky Horror Show at the Panada Theater Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Just something very simple before the actors have the opportunity to give the last message. I just want to acknowledge and I want to invite people to support the theater. In this community, there is a bunch of other theater companies that really deserve the support of the community. The Unknown Locals, Michael Bigley, Ron Ragon, all these people are really, really putting the best that they can in every single thing that they do. My call maybe is for the community. The community should go there and support it, because it's a treasure what you have. There's so many talented people. Cultivate them, help them, support them. They need all of us. We need you. We need you.
Thank you very much.
Any other final words from Rocky or Columbia?
I'll just say it's gonna be a riot, guys. We're all having fun. You're gonna have fun. It's a community. We're doing this for you guys, and we want you to enjoy it and have a great time. It's Halloween. It's the perfect time for getting out there and having a good time. So,
and we need our last cast member, which is the audience.
Good, good. And half the fun of, I think you mentioned it on the nail on the head, Eric, with it's this time of year. People like to dress up, costumes. Isn't that one of the elements of the fun part of Rocky Horror Show?
Absolutely.
Is you're not finding anybody walking around in a three. Well, I think Professor has a three-piece suit on, doesn't he? I was going to say walking around a three-piece suit, but later on he gets some heels.
Yeah.
And okay, we're going to exit with, thank you so much again. That's the Panda Theater.
Pleasure.
Thank you, KRFY.
Oh, you're welcome. Tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday, doors open at 7. The show begins at 8, but I'm sure the show will continue on. We're going to close out with the song that in the film... Meatloaf does it. It's Hot Patootie, Bless My Soul. He does it while going on a motorcycle. Thanks so much for taking time out. And do I dare say, since you are wearing platform shoes and heels, break a leg?
The most pertinent form of that phrase right there ever.
Yeah.
Good. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Here is Hot Patootie, Bless My Soul from the London cast of 1973.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
Hot Patootie, Bless My Soul. What fun that's going to be at the Panada tonight and tomorrow night and Saturday night. I'm planning to go tomorrow night and don't dream it, be it, here on 88.5 KRFY.
One thing we didn't, or I heard you kind of discussing with Jesus, the history of the audience participation. This is a 40-year-old show, and
yes,
yeah, you want to...
I think the play premiered in London. It was written by Richard O'Brien, and it's really an homage to science fiction, B-movies, and it's one about liberation and freedom that was also occurring on this side of the water with about late 60s with a play like Hair. And the whole punchline of Rocky Horror Show is don't dream it, be it. And I don't think audience participation was part of the original element when it debuted in 73. But with the movie with Tim Curry, Susan Sarandon, Barry Bostwick, I think, began in 75, which was a total flop. The movie was just a bomb when it first came out. But then they started showing it at midnight when strange people and weird happenings occur. And I think that's when the audience participation began. And I think that that's where it became merged with the play. You know, I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's my first contact with the film was in about 1980.
That's still pretty early in the history.
It's still early, but in the major cities. See, I caught it in Billings, Montana, egads. Mm-hmm. But in places like L.A. and New York, they had it going strong by then. And then I showed you, Jack, earlier, I caught the play in Melbourne, Australia in 1988. And I still have the playbill in the booklet. And in there is a young Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
It just, you know, the last thing you'd think of Russell Crowe being in.
Right.
You know, you think of a Roman amphitheater or a commander at sea or something like that. And he's playing Eddie, and a Rocky Horror Show in Melbourne, Australia. Little did I know that I'd be seeing an Academy Award winner in his early stages. So, but I'm going to go tomorrow night, and I'm sort of shy, though. I don't know if I'll get up in Time Warp, but I'll be doing it in my seat.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm not sure if I'll get up or not, but I guess it depends on the
the audience.
It depends on the audience.
If you're the only one, like, oh my gosh, you know, that's right. But want to say once again, we're going to start talking about some of the events. This is a busy weekend. The Rocky Horror Show at the Panda Theater. It's put on by the American Laboratory Theater. 7 o'clock, the doors open, and the play begins at 8. It's directed by Jesus Quintero. You can get tickets in advance at panda.org, or I'd suggest just at the door when you go in. Get your tickets then. But it is tonight, Thursday, the 29th, tomorrow night, the 30th, Friday, and Saturday. I would say this is a performance that you might not see one this year with as much energy and fun.
Right. One thing I didn't ask him if they were going to make this an annual event or anything, but it seems it's such a production to do it. I cannot imagine.
Okay, I'm going to talk about some Friday events. At the Hive on Friday, this is tomorrow, the 30th, this is going to be the only underage show of the year at the Hive. So this is a Monster Mash 20 and under show. You can come and be trick-or-treated with live performances from Champagne Wolfgang, and head-to-head awards will be given for the funniest, scariest, and best couples or groups costumes. The doors open at 8. Performance begins at 9. This is the only time that you can be under 20 and get the Hive. This is a non-alcoholic event. That's very important. And I'm sure that you can get tickets at the door, or you can get tickets at ticketswest.com.
I like that. I mean, I like that there's the all ages show.
Well, the Hive is a great venue.
Right.
And this is an opportunity for those, because usually they serve alcohol at events, which limits the age of the person there. But this is one for under 20.
Yeah.
And I just think that is way too cool. Also on Friday night, we're going to continue with the music at the Idaho Poor Authority on Cedar Street from 5 to 7. Marty Perrin and Doug Bond. That'll be great. And then you can just stroll down farther down the street at the Ponderay Winery on Cedar Street. Live music from 5 to 8. Spumoni Blues. Three different flavors combined into one. So that'll be a blending of blues, rock, folk, country, jazz, and pop. That's tomorrow night at the Idaho Poor Authority, Ponderay Winery. And then also at Laughing Dog Brewing. It's called Haunted Firkin Friday. This is out in Ponderay from 6 to 10. All are invited to this fun Halloween costume party with prizes for best costumes. You know what? I have a feeling, Jack, that this weekend you can make a killing if you had an incredible costume. You just go from one place to another.
You just go winning costume contests.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So this is out at Laughing Dog Brewing on Fontaine Drive in Ponderay. Both humans and canines are bring them in costumes. There'll be a surprise new beer in the Firkin keg with pint specials. So that's tomorrow night at Laughing Dog Brewing.
And then it's spooky Saturday. Then it's Halloween. And there will be plenty of people out trick-or-treating. You can trick-or-treat in a couple places during the day at the Bonner Mall from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. And there is a costume contest there as well. And then at the museum, at the Bonner County Historical Museum, and also at the Lion's Den right next door. This is in Lakeview Park, 611 South Ella. The third annual Safe Trick-or-Treating event is from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. It's trick-or-treating fun, free, and open to all. BonnerCountyHistory.org for more information about that, or call 263-2344. Going on downtown, on on the day itself, on Halloween night, join local businesses for a fun-filled trick-or-treat, trick-o-rific afternoon from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. You can end your... You'll begin in downtown Sandpoint, and the journey ends at Creations in the Studio Street Bridge for a glowy good time. There will be a DJ, glow sticks, candy, games, and random giveaways for cool costumes, featuring a special appearance by the Sandpoint dance team at 5:30 p.m. So come on down and dance. If you're not in the mood for the costume contest or the spooky end of things, Truck Mills is going to be playing at the Idaho Poor Authority from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Halloween night. 597-7096 is who you call for more information about that. There's also music from 5 to 8 with Britchy from Missoula. It's an acoustic Americana duo featuring fine picking and timeless songwriting by Richie Reinholdt and Britt Aronson at the Pondere Winery. Then the real... or the grown-up version of that event you were talking about on Friday night is on Halloween night. The second annual Hive Halloween Bash and Costume Contest. It's at the Hive on First Avenue. Dumpsta Funk is going to be playing, which is... They've played here a couple
times
now.
Yes, they've been here before.
Yeah, they must like it up here. I like that.
Who wouldn't?
There will be awards for the funniest, scariest, and best
couple. So this is
couple.
For over 20.
This is the 21 plus show, yes.
21 plus show and the 20 minus show on Friday.
That's right. Now, this event did sell out last year, and it's expected to do so this year as well. Doors open at 8 p.m., and the show begins at 9 p.m.
That's perfect, because if you're giving out trick-or-treats, that usually it quiets down by about 7:30, 8 o'clock.
That's right.
So you could have a full Saturday.
Now, before you go down there... and you're sitting at home giving out trick-or-treats, I hope you have on KRFY, because Mike, Jerry, and Bob are doing a very special edition of the Decades Countdown, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. They will be playing spooky Halloween music the whole time, appropriate seasonal music, and good commercial-free listening.
Well, let's play one that probably Jerry Warren has selected from the 60s. This is an iconic one that I think can only be played on Halloween. I'm not going to say much more about it. We'll talk a little bit about it afterwards. You know which one it is, Jack.
I do, yes.
That is the Monster Mash with Bobby Boris Pickett from 1962, and I'm quite sure that on Saturday night during the 50s, 60s, and 70s, that'll get played at least once.
I would think so, yes.
In the Crypt Kickers 5.
Yeah.
And it's got the backup girl group. It's got all the elements of fun.
Uh-huh. I imagine he was a very popular act, like, in the... maybe two weeks leading up to Halloween, and then the rest of the year he was...
You talk about a one-hit wonder. Only hit
really?
Wonder. Well,
yeah.
Not only is it a one-hit wonder, it's a specific time of the year.
Right.
One hit. You can't play this at Christmas. I mean, of course you could.
Yeah.
Or at Easter, but certainly it fills out. But that'll be this Saturday night, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock with Bob, Jerry, and Mike, bringing the best of the decades and hopefully with a Halloween tint.
That's right.
Tonight, I do want to... Oh, what were you going to say, Jack?
I was going to say that I was just looking, and Juke in the Back has a special Halloween episode, too.
Oh, Rhythm and Blues. Ooh,
yeah,
4 o'clock.
If you tune in, you won't miss on Saturday. And, well, it's also... There's also the Risky Biscuit Hayseed Hoot. He's always good for something seasonal, so...
Oh, absolutely. Dondo, yeah. That's on, I think, at 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, a two-hour program on Saturday. We're just loading you up. But before we get too far, I do want to throw a pitch in for tonight. You have Americana Backroads at 7 o'clock, and at 8 o'clock, Live from a Divide. It's live performances from Bozeman, Montana, and that's always an excellent show. At 9 o'clock to midnight, you have the KRFY Folk Show, but I always come on and do an hour live, and the first hour from 9 to 10, I'm going to take a look at, I've already done debut albums by the urban folk revival of the early 60s, like Joan Baez and Judy Collins and Bob Dylan, Peter, Paul, and Mary. And I've also done the sophomore efforts, their second albums. Tonight, I'm going to do their junior efforts. The third album from Bob Dylan, from Judy Collins, Ian and Sylvia, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Joan Baez. And I'm going to play some music from those three, their junior efforts.
Oh, interesting.
And it is. It's fun because, you know, you have Joan Baez before she discovers Bob Dylan. You have Peter, Paul, and Mary on their In the Wind album. Three out of the 12 songs are Bob Dylan. And this is their first time recording Bob Dylan. You have Bob Dylan doing The Times Are A-Changing, where he, you know, just incredible stuff he's writing. Judy Collins, on her album, she's backed by Jim McGuinn, who later on becomes Roger McGuinn, founder of the Byrds. And one of the songs she does is Turn, Turn, Turn by Pete Seeger, and that becomes a Byrds hit. So it's all interwoven, but that's tonight, 9 to 10, on the KRFY Folk Show.
We are very nearly out of time. But
we don't have time to play the one song I've queued up, but we'll play it right after Bird Note. It was on this date in 1971 that Duane Allman of the Allman Brothers extincted himself on a motorcycle in Macon, Georgia. And so what I queued up is Midnight Rider, not the Greg Allman version from the late 70s, but the Allman Brothers Band version from their second album called Idlewild South. And we'll play that right after Bird Note.
That's right. It's a good album. And it's shocking to me that it was 1971, because by then, I mean, they had a couple albums which were not too successful, and then they had the smash hit Live at Fillmore East album, but
that it was, put them on the map, and then Eat a Peach.
Yeah, but he was, by the time Eat a Peach came out, Duane was gone.
He was gone.
I mean, really a very short career with tremendous influence. I mean, impact. So many people know the name Duane Allman.
Absolutely, and the Allman Brothers. So we'll play that after the Bird Note at 9 o'clock. But I do want to mention next week on the KRFY Morning Show, Tuesday, November the 3rd. Egads, Jack, it's November soon. Where has 2015 gone? Joining Susie and Chris will be Cameron Rasmussen, editor of the Sandpoint Reader, along with Jim McKiernan, publisher of the Bonner County Daily Bee. And they're going to talk on voting and city elections. That's next Tuesday at 8 a.m. And then on Thursday, that's you and me back here again a week later. Hopefully we recovered from the Rocky Horror Show and Halloween. Our guest is going to be Tom Dabrowski from the Idaho Trails Association and Phil Huff from Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. And they're going to be talking about hiking in North Idaho and the upcoming Fall Hikers Festival celebration. That's 1 week from today.
That's going to be a good conversation. I think... you know a little something about hiking, don't you, Jim? Haven't you?
Yes, I do. The Camino de Santiago. I'm heading back on the Appalachian Trail beginning on March 14th. I even have my date set of 2016. And I just bought a pair of toe socks. It's been highly recommended. They're called hiking toe socks because I have, you know, your toes rubbing, get blisters and things like that. So I'm going to experiment with it in the months ahead, just walking around and see how that feels.
Well, that sounds a little like something you'd have to get used to. I'm not sure I would like that.
I'd imagine you'd have to have whiter shoes because you're putting cloth in between your toes. But this next week, Phil Huff and Tom Dabrowski here on 88.5 KRFY Morning Show. Thanks so much for tuning in and starting off your Halloween weekend.
We are just about out of time. Don't forget to vote on Tuesday. And if you are looking for more information about that election, we've had a couple of shows in the past. You can get our podcast at krfy.org. Be sure to listen to the one with our mayoral candidates. We've had some city council candidates. And just this past Tuesday, the current mayor and the Parks and Recreation Director were on to talk a little bit about city government in general and particularly the upcoming Memorial Field local option tax. Be sure to listen to those if you want to be informed before Tuesday. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY.